Hey there, dog people of the internet. It's Sarah Stremming, the Cog Dog Coach, and this is Cog Dog Radio. Join me as I cover behavior concepts, discuss training ideas, interview experts, and explore my cases, all regarding the dogs we live and play with. Let's go. This week, I've got Bina Stewing and Sasha Zitter on the podcast. Together, they make up Boundless Junior Agility Company, a nonprofit organization that is devoted to positively influencing junior agility competitors on and off the course. BJAC, as it is called, does this primarily by fostering good sportsmanship, community, and skill in North American agility junior handlers. We talked about accessibility, the experience of being a young junior in agility, and so much more. Enjoy. Welcome to the podcast. I'm going to have you each share your names and pronouns and just a little bit about who you are and what your role is in BJAC. Bina, let's start with you.
Hello, my name is Bina. My pronouns are she, her, and I am a co-director at BJAC. I'm relatively new. I've been part of the team for about 6 or 8 months. So 2024 will be my first time getting to attend camp, which I'm really excited about. And we all kind of do everything at BJAC, so I wouldn't say I have a specific role, but I do love doing some of our social media and communications, love communicating with juniors and their parents, and coming up with fun and new initiatives to offer all the juniors out there.
Thanks, Bina. Sasha?
My name is Sasha. My pronouns are she, her. I'm the co-founder and co-director along with Bina and our third co-director, Mackenzie, at BJAC. So like Bina said, we kind of all do everything. You know, we are a small nonprofit, so we have to be scrappy, and we all do everything. Yeah, it's a great way for us to become well-rounded human beings.
As agility sort of is, right? So I've been doing agility for about 25 years, and AKC agility is only about 30 years old. So needless to say, it's changed a lot since I was a junior in the sport. Do you feel like agility is accessible for juniors? Sasha, do you want to jump in on that?
Yeah. So I think we would probably all agree that agility is a bit of an inherently inaccessible sport for especially young people. I would say young people and newcomers, but when you're young and new, it's like really difficult to get into it. And there are a lot of reasons for that. I mean, there are so many barriers for junior handlers. And the first obvious ones are like logistical barriers, right? Like getting to and from class. Like some of us aren't old enough to drive. You know, maybe your parents have work. Maybe you can't afford class. That's something everyone faces. But when you're a junior, you know, you're a kid, you don't get to make the decisions about your finances. So those are just, you know, the obvious ones. And then when you think about some of the other ones, you know, you sort of get into the territory of general attitudes of people in the agility community. There are so many people who are extremely welcoming to juniors. And there are also a lot of people who don't like kids and are actively unwelcoming to juniors. And so that kind of can serve to drive people away. So I would say all of that sort of culminates in general inaccessibility to the sport.
Yeah, especially like the kid hating thing. That's for some reason this like culturally very normal thing in all of dog stuff. It's kind of gross, actually. Like it's a really deep, weird, like it's kind of not cool to say that you hate people's children, and yet people do say that all the time in dog sports. I have conflicted feelings about children, like little children at trials. Like I have really big feelings about their safety. So I am kind of loud sometimes about what roles I think they should be inhabiting at trials. I've been in trouble before by asking children to maybe stop running through a group of dogs when their parents really thought that was fine. So, and you know, I'm that guy. So I actually do like children, which is why I want them to be safe at dog shows. And I work with behavior cases mostly with these dogs, and so I know that they're not safe for your children to be running past, so that's the guy that I am. But Bina, why don't you jump into on the accessibility of agility?
Yeah, and I think that's a great point, Sarah. Like I think that, you know, we all could have better skills when relating to the dogs that we are surrounded by, our own dogs and other people's dogs. I want to add, like, everything that Sasha said. And I think also a big part of the accessibility is the fact that, like, this is not a sport where you are just strapping on some tennis shoes and you need, like, a ball and a hoop or, like, a ball and some friends. Like, this sport involves another animal with distinct needs and preferences and interests, and they are half of your team. And so I think that accessibility could be in the dog that you have, whether it's simply that your dog lacks interest or that your dog lacks the physical ability. I think that there's a lot of, I think, in fact, there are a lot of dogs out there that people start with that could do very well, but there's so little accessibility into the resources that one would need to help that dog be successful in that environment. And often people aren't even learning those skills until they're on their, like, third or fourth or fifth dog, let alone the first dog. I mean, how many times have you heard someone say, like, oh, if only I knew what I knew now for, you know, for Molly or Fido or whatever it was. So I think that having access to a dog that can do and safely enjoy the sport with you, and having access to the quality of instructor and instruction that's going to help you reach your goals. And then I think also there's like a real lacking in sort of a collective consciousness about agility. Like, most people have some sort of framework for what basketball is, or even horseback riding, like horse events. But there is little to no framework when it comes to dog sports, or specifically agility, besides maybe best in show. And so I think that there's an added difficulty, especially for a child, where I think that, like, as a child, you're already living in a world that doesn't always pay attention to what you do or think or say. And then you're doing this sport that no one really gets or understands. And you have to convince your parents or family members that this is a valuable use of your time and that it's actually really helpful and a really powerful activity for you to do. So I think that there's so many layers to the inaccessibility of the sport. And as Sasha said, like, if you're a young person in a sport that is already inherently inaccessible, those barriers are just going to be quadrupled for you.
A lot of really good points, and a lot of things are kind of coming up for me as you're talking, because, man, that barrier of just having a dog that you can do this with is a huge, huge barrier. It's a barrier for a lot of people, but for a kid who doesn't have the means to go seek out that dog on their own. Like, most of us start agility with whatever family pet is around. And if you're lucky, that family pet is capable physically and mentally of doing the sport with you. And not everybody's lucky. And I definitely remember, you know, I know people who grew up in the sport, but whose parents also did dog sports, and they had a huge advantage as far as their parents understanding how to buy a dog for sports. Or potentially their parents already having dogs that were just readily available to be played with in these games. The first dog that I competed with, he's not the first dog that I kind of took classes and trained with and got excited about agility with, but the first dog I competed with was a shit show, you guys. Like, he was a Border Collie that we bought out of the newspaper ad. And I actually kind of did know better because I was a nerd. But my parents weren't going to pay any more money, like, for him. At the time, there was, like, one really primary sport breeder in the country. And so, and those dogs were, you know, well over $1,000. They cost more than that now. And, you know, we paid, like, $250 cash for this guy, for this puppy, right? And my parents thought that was a big deal. And he was structurally, mentally, like, everything about him was just not right for, kind of not right for the earth, but certainly not right for agility. And that's a big one. That's a huge barrier. And I know, like, we're going to get into a lot of the opportunities that you guys provide, but I know one of the cool things you do at your camp is you find school ponies for people. So you kind of reach out to, I saw, because your camp is going to be in Oregon, and I saw somebody posting about, hey, we're looking for some trained dogs that would want to come play with a kid over the course of the weekend. And that's one of the ways that you guys are trying to get around that and help. And I think that thing you mentioned, Bina, about the collective consciousness of this sport, That's something also that was a big deal that I don't often think gets talked about. Like, my teachers didn't know what it was. Like, the school didn't know what it was, so they didn't, like, count it as extracurricular. So they thought that I was, like, not engaging in extracurricular activities when, like, actually I was just doing agility all the time. And, yeah, nobody knows what it is. And we don't think about how that's kind of isolating. Like, and then certainly I was, you know, weird for a lot of reasons, but this is just one other thing that made me a weirdo. As a teenager. So I think that's it's really interesting and a good point. But we've talked about some of the challenges, and I want to talk about the opportunities. So there are way more opportunities for juniors now than there were when I first started out. So, Bina, why don't you start jumping on some of the opportunities that exist now that didn't exist before?
Yeah. So we've got quite a lot, actually. It's really great to see more and more coming together. I'll start with what we have right here in the U.S. We have the junior invites that happens every year in conjunction with invitationals and the national championship for breed. And that's a really big deal. And every year we see so many incredibly talented juniors go to invites and really just show us how it's done. And then internationally, we have JOAC, Junior Open Agility World Championships.
Yes.
and we provide, you know, I think we do a lot to get our U.S. agility junior handlers going to JOAC every year. And then we also have so many more opportunities on a local level, so many more clubs. There could always be more, but there are so many clubs that do offer junior discounts on specific specific events at trials for juniors. I mean, I was at a show a couple weeks ago and it was really sweet. They there was a junior there and they made up an award for her in order to give her an award at the show. And it was awesome. Just people really thinking about and trying to recognize and celebrate the junior handlers in our sport. And then of course we have BJAC. So at BJAC, our primary offering up to this point has been our camps that happen every year. We started with a camp in the East and we are now reliably offering two camps, one in the East and one in the West. And we are really growing every year. It's actually remarkable how quickly we are growing. Huge, 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 huge kudos to Sasha for birthing and growing this incredible organization that just continues to develop. And we have so much more in the works. It has been in the last couple, months, we've had juniors reach out to us with incredible ideas, just amazing ideas to further junior participation in agility. And we're so happy that the juniors are reaching out to us with their ideas, and we are doing as much as possible to make every single one of them come true. And we're really, really excited about everything that's on the horizon there.
I think that was super comprehensive. But Sasha, do you want to jump in on what opportunities do exist now that didn't always?
So Bina already touched on JOAC, and I'll say from my experience, I did go for 3 years. It was such a blast. Such a great way for, you know, juniors to get that international competition experience and exposure and feel what it's like to be a part of a team in agility, because so often, it is a team sport with, you know, a person and a dog, but it's not often a team sport with other people and other dogs. And so it's kind of a really fun opportunity to be able to make that community. And then building on what Bina said about BJAC, you know, BJAC, one of the barriers we didn't mention is that there's a lack of community for young people. And it's really hard to stay involved in something when you have no community, right? Like, you can have friends and, you know, Bina and I, you know, when we were younger, all had, you know, friends who were wonderful, wonderful middle-aged women who were not at all our age, right? And they were amazing and lovely, and we enjoyed being around them. But to be honest, when you're 12, you kind of want to be around other 12-year-olds. No offense to anybody else. But, you know, that's just kind of, you want to be around people your age. So that's a huge barrier. And that's one of the things that BJAC really aims to tackle, is building that community for people. We get people coming from all over the country, from outside of the country, and you know, it really builds that community and allows juniors to make lasting connections with each other. And that really makes it more likely that we'll retain them in the sport. And, you know, we always say, like, juniors are the future of our sport. Agility will die if we do not continue to bring in young people and bring in newcomers of all ages and be welcoming to them and build infrastructure that supports them. And so BJAC really is built on that. Something really exciting that we have in the works is our newest. We've never offered any type of competition before, but actually this idea was brought to us by our Boundless ambassador, Tessa Trussner, who's super awesome. She talked about wanting an international style competition in the US for juniors, something like JOAC, but here, or OJAC. And we have that in the works. We're calling it the Boundless Youth Championships, and it's going to be open to people 25 and under. And there will be some really cool prizes and things to win. And we're sort of doing that with the intention of sort of bringing US juniors to like a higher level of competition. There's so much talent, but there's not a lot of opportunity for like specifically junior international competition here. You have to travel overseas for that, and not everyone has the means to do that. So we're looking to offer that in order to increase accessibility as well. And that will hopefully be a thing in 2025. So that's super exciting. We're very, very excited to be offering that to people.
Okay, so a couple things I want to bring up. So one is this, it's the Boundless Youth Championship. Is that what you said? Yes, so cool. That's so exciting. Like, what an exciting, cool, fun thing to organize and do, because there are amazing, amazing young people in this sport. Tessa being one of them. I saw her running at the US Open last year and was like, who is this kid with this unconventional dog just completely kicking ass? So really excited to hear that she is a part of things with you guys, because really, really cool. So that's fantastic. But this community thing, like, let's get into it, because, right, I also hung out with people two and three times my age, not even two times my age, three times my age, four times my age, like every single weekend. Like, that was who I grew up around. And truly, they are all wonderful. And I do really love them and really appreciate how welcoming a lot of them were. But then I did also hang out with people my age, and it would have been probably better if they did agility. Because for a lot of reasons. One might be that we were doing things we shouldn't have been doing because we weren't doing agility, but it's fine. I survived. I lived to tell the tale. And the other piece is that, like, community matters for everyone. Community is a big, big deal. We're really wired for that. It's something that we need, and it's something that if we know we need it, we can kind of seek it in healthy, good ways. And providing that for kids is a huge deal. And I actually think that that's something that's a positive impact social media has had. I hate to keep being like in my day, but when I was starting out as a kid doing agility, social media didn't exist yet. So I didn't know anybody else really my age that was doing it. And I didn't really make many friends that were my age in the sport until I was older, until I was like mid-20s. But even then, that was the first time that like these people were my age and doing the sport. And it was a huge change. And it was, you know, it brought me some like lasting friendships. Some of my very best friends, I see them, I don't know, once a year, twice a year at events because I know them on the internet. And so jump in on maybe some of the, if you have anything to say about some of the community aspects that have grown or that have happened or any cool things that have come from that. Bina, do you want to jump in on that?
Yeah. Well, I sort of have an answer to your question. but I wanted to, I think sort of going off of what you were talking about, the community aspect, when you were talking about your first border collie, I also, like, I think that one aspect of the isolation was not just agility, but I went out and got my first border collie when I was 15 living in Brooklyn. And I had to homeschool in order to be able to care for him. Like, I could not attend a regular, not 8 to 3, however schools work, in order to properly attend to his needs. And obviously, like, that in and of itself is isolating, because you have a much much smaller pool of community members. And so my community became so much more important, and all the wonderful middle-aged ladies in agility who I was in community with were so wonderful. But I think that they're like, I was not very engaged in social media at the time. And I think if I had been, it would have been really helpful, because not only was I isolated in the aspect of agility wise, but my dog is a train wreck. Like, he had, you know, a lot of issues, and I couldn't go do the things that even like the other homeschooling kids my age were doing, because my border collie at home needed me and could not be cared for by anyone else. And so I think that the community aspect is so important, not just agility wise, but just like living with dogs wise. Like myself, Sasha, our other co-director, Mackenzie, we've all gone through college with dogs. That experience in and of itself is wild and really difficult. And not something that most junior handlers' parents are going to be able to offer any sort of like understanding with, right? Because they simply did not attend college with their dog. And so I think that social media has been an amazing gift for helping junior handlers who are continuing to grow as people in the world and staying in agility, and living this almost like double life of having more consuming dogs needing more, and being a young person trying to make it. And I think that what, like, by increasing all these events, like what you said, Sarah, about sometimes you only get to see a good friend 1 to 2 times a year. We are really hoping that the juniors, with all these events that we're adding to the calendar, that they will have more opportunities simply to spend time together. I've gotten to hear from a lot of juniors who have gone to camp, and that's really one of the best parts of camp for them, is the time spent just hanging out together with other people who do what they do. And by adding in more opportunities for them to get to spend time together, we're really trying to change that once a year, twice a year dynamic. And that's also part of why we are so committed to increasing accessibility. Accessibility in the sense of, yes, being able to go show your dogs on weekends and attend classes and seminars with your dogs, but also to attend these larger events so that you can be in community with other junior handlers who are doing the same thing that you are, and that you don't have to sit at home and feel like you can't connect with other people your age in your sport, and increasing the opportunities for young people to gather and do what they love to do together. So that was maybe an answer to your question. Sasha, I'm sure will have a much better answer.
Yeah, Sasha. Oh,
that was a great answer.
Yeah. It was, and I already have my next point from your answer. We keep talking about accessibility, and one thing that, you know, we're talking about these events and having more of them, and I think that's really, really important for this community aspect. But something that I keep thinking about is the cha-ching of it all, the dollar signs. And I would imagine that one of the biggest barriers for kids attending these events is getting financing for these events. Like, I certainly, like I mentioned, my parents felt like it was a stretch to buy me a dog that cost $250, right? And I'm very grateful that they paid for entry fees and they paid for classes, even though it was a stretch for them to do. Talk a little bit about, I don't know what you guys do as far as, you know, I know that you work hard to keep costs low, but are there other opportunities? And like, you know, can people add their sponsorships and like help out here? Like, what are you doing on the financial accessibility front? Sasha, why don't you start?
Yeah, so we do a lot to try to make agility financially accessible for juniors. The main thing that what we started with to make it more financially accessible is the Boundless Education Grant, which is basically, it's a grant that we do 3 times a year. It's $500 that we allow juniors to apply to for any educational agility purpose. So it could be anything kind of adjacent to agility. It could be for buying equipment. It could be for class. It could be for a seminar. It could be, you know, trial entry fees, things like that. It's really flexible. It could even honestly be for like engagement training and, you know, things that are agility adjacent. So we try to allow people to sort of utilize it how it fits their story best. But that's a really great opportunity. Essentially, what the process is we have a different grant prompt every cycle, and the juniors apply by writing an essay, short essay. We're starting to get more creative with our prompts, so it's kind of been fun to come up with them. But, you know, we typically want to hear juniors write about ways in which, you know, how what their experience has been in agility, or ways in which we could improve their experience. And so it's been really kind of interesting and emotional sometimes to read the essays that we get. But we do award money to usually multiple recipients each cycle. We split the $500 depending on what people are asking for and what, you know, what essays we liked and who we feel needs the most assistance at the time. It's really cool because for the past grant cycle and the grant cycle that is upcoming, we've actually had people sponsor them fully. So Sarah Baker just sponsored our winter grant, and Nancy Guise is sponsoring our spring grant, which is really exciting. And that really actually does help us offer more money to juniors, because we either put the money we were going to put into the grant into something else, or we offer more money that grant cycle. So that's one of the big financial things that we offer. We also offer camp scholarships. So we do give out a large number of scholarships each year for people to attend camp, either half off or for free. And those are right now the big sort of financial opportunities, although we have more in the works, and we are definitely, you know, as we grow, this is like a huge focus for us. The financial piece is one of the biggest pieces. I mean, our sport is expensive. Very expensive. And some of these juniors are paying for this on their own dime. They're working really hard so that they can pay for this stuff. So our job is to make it accessible. And we have, you know, we focus on that a lot. And a lot of our new initiatives are actually geared towards that. So more in the works right now.
That's fantastic, though. It's you're like, but we have more. And I'm like, but you're doing a lot. both of them are great. It's really good. It's really great to hear that that's a huge focus, because I would imagine that that is a huge, an enormous part of the accessibility issue for kids coming into agility. So I've got a question that I hope will take us many directions. I want both of you to tell me, if you could tell young people one thing about the sport, whether it's how to get involved or how to be in it if you're already involved, what would it be? And Bina, let's start with you.
Oh my gosh. Well, great question. So my immediate response was, I think my immediate response might be a little jaded, because my immediate response was to say immediately to be like, what does your relationship with your dog look like outside of agility? That was my immediate thing. Just because I think that, coming from my personal background, I think that you start doing this thing and it's so much fun and you want to do really well in it. And I think it's really easy to put so much pressure on yourself and so much pressure on your dog to reach these training goals or whatever goals you have set for yourself. And that is so human. Like, we all do it. We all do it every single day. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that. But I think my first thing would be to, like, I guess, okay, I'm gonna clean this up a bit. It would be to find the joy. So like, identify where the joy in agility is for you, where the joy is for your dog, and then where the joy comes together for both of you. And maybe some of that falls within the parameters of agility and some of that falls outside of the parameters of agility. And just do that. Like, do that. At the end of the day, this sport is made so that we can go have fun with our dogs. And so find where the joy is for you in the sport, in both more like idea-y intellectually ways, and then also physical ways. Like, where are you? Who are you with? What's your dog doing? What are you doing? What are the conditions that you need to find this joy and connection that brought you to the sport with your dog? And I think also because it is a really small world, agility at this point, and juniors in agility is a smaller world, the pressure can come outside of you as well, right? Like, if you are the only junior at a show, a lot of people are going to be watching you. A lot of people are going to be watching your decisions and choices. And so finding that joy within yourself in the show environment, if it's there for you, right? So yeah, that's mine.
I think that's great. I think it's important to for everybody to do that who might be listening. But also from the kind of role model standpoint, I worry sometimes when I look at folks who are role models in the sport behaving certain ways. And I think that it is important for you if you don't even think you're a role model, but like you are a visible person doing well in the sport, you are. And you need to watch how you're acting, honestly, in my opinion. And so good reminder for everybody. Sasha, what would you say to a young person getting involved?
I would say that it's really important to know that you are a worthy competitor, because I think it's easy to be beaten down by other people. Like Bina said, you know, when you're a junior, everyone's watching you. And for some reason, many people feel that it is totally okay and acceptable to give you unsolicited advice. You might, like, I've had this experience. I've come out of the ring and it was like a tough run, or maybe my dog, my novice A standard poodle that hated agility was like looking for my mom. And someone's like, oh man, you really should have done a front cross there. And I'm like, are you serious? Did I ask you? No. So it's like, if you're not my coach, a good friend, or even if I didn't ask you, you know, just because I'm a young person, it doesn't mean I'm just open for business and wanting everyone to give me advice. Many of the people that tried to give me advice were less seasoned than I was, which is kind of a bit ridiculous, right? I mean, it didn't feel like it came from a good place, because, you know, when you're young and you're sort of figuring out your handling style and kind of where you're at with your dog, and then someone comes in and you don't see them talking to other people like that, but they come to you because you're young and they think that their advice is really helpful. That doesn't feel great. This kind of goes for all newcomers, but especially when you're a junior, know that you are on your own journey with your dog. Other people, you know, everyone has their own journey and not everyone understands other people's journeys. So take it at your own pace. Respect yourself as a competitor. Act like a good competitor. Be a good sports person. That's just an essential thing, because I think when you are a junior, people can much more easily latch on to things you've done wrong and say, oh, that kid's a problem, or, you know, and that sounds cynical, but that's the reality we're living in here. So it's important to know. So, you know, you have to act mature. And almost all of the juniors I've run into at trials have been extraordinarily mature. I don't think I've ever met someone who I've been like, that kid shouldn't be here. So, you know, and then I would say from the adult side, like some advice I would give adults who are dealing with juniors at trials, respect them because they are competitors. Many of them are so incredibly talented and knowledgeable and, you know, don't diminish them because of their age. I mean, I see that all the time. It's kind of this like infantilization of juniors who are some of them like 15, 16, 17 years old, almost aged out. And because they're juniors, you know, people kind of feel like they have this authority over them, maybe. I don't know if that's the right word. So I'm rambling a bit, but I would just say that, you know, juniors should know that they are integral to the success of our sport in the future, and you are important and you deserve to be there. And it is okay to speak up if someone is mistreating you or treating you like a child. And for adults, you know, just treat juniors like you treat your other fellow competitors. I mean, they are amazing and talented and so knowledgeable. So I think that it's just a mutual respect kind of thing. That would be my biggest piece of advice.
Yeah. And again, we're giving advice to everybody, I think, because first of all, anytime somebody is exiting the ring with their dog, that is not a time for your feedback. Like, even if your feedback is warranted or wanted, that's not the right time. Like, even the people, like, there are very few people whose feedback I want, and they're never giving it to me in that moment. It's always later, right? So just, can we just across the board, we need to just cut that out. But also to the juniors or anybody else who's listening, also people will keep doing that. And having just like a canned response is a good one, is just a way to get through it. So somebody taught me a long, long time ago, no matter what anybody says to you when you leave the ring, just like say thank you and keep walking. And like, you don't need to engage in the conversation at all. And if they were like, you know, you did that wrong, or like, you know, we knocked a bar right, or you blah, blah, blah. And like, you just go, thank you and keep walking. Also, in my mind, I'm saying another word that ends with K. I'm not saying thank, but just out loud, I'm saying thank you. So love this. This is all really, really important stuff. I want kids to feel welcome in this sport. And I can say that I experienced extremely welcoming, kind adults, and I also experienced not welcoming and kind adults. And sometimes when I look back on the experience, I don't know why I stayed in it due to the lack of welcomingness that was happening. I think I'm just stubborn, and I knew that I wanted to do it, so I kept doing it. And I'm very glad that I did, because I was a really messed up teenager, and I might not have survived being a teenager if I hadn't had dog agility. So the other thing to maybe all the adults out there, you might have forgotten how hard it was to be a teenager, but it's kind of a universally rough time. For some people, it is a dangerously rough time. And those people might be running a dog at the trial. And again, just good across the board of advice. It's that whole, like, you don't know what people are going through, so maybe try being nice. But, you know, teenagers are fragile. Preteens are, they're fragile. Like, it's because the world is hard for them. I talk about it when I talk about adolescent dogs. Like, they're having a rough time. Like, if you forgot that you had big feelings about literally everything also when you were 13. Like, I have a 10-month-old puppy. When she's having a meltdown over literally nothing, I can relate. I think about, you know, yeah, it was really hard to be your age. It was. So I think for the adults listening, it's like, don't assume you know better than them, because you might not. But also make sure that somebody's being supportive. And being supportive isn't telling them what to do. Being supportive is more like, hey, if you need anything, like, hey, I noticed you're here at our trial. Welcome to our trial. My name is whatever. Let us know if you need anything. That's the way to talk to juniors. Not, I was always told to, like, I don't know. I was always giving training advice for my dog because he was a mess. And I'm sure, Bina, talking about your poodle, I'm sure that, I think Sasha maybe was talking about the poodle. Whatever. We had a poodle that was having a rough time. And so I think this is all just really important, and overall, like, the work that BJack is trying to do is needed and important. It was born out of necessity. So I'm going to open the floor for you guys to give any final thoughts or to mention anything we haven't talked about yet in regards to BJack. So Bina, go ahead and start.
Yeah. So I'd like to finish by saying that we have so many opportunities to support us. If you feel like maybe you are realizing right now that you are one of those people at the trial who maybe gives unsolicited advice, or you are attempting to support in a way that maybe isn't so supportive, that is okay. Like, we all start from a place of learning and growth. So reach out to us, and we'd be happy to have a conversation with you about maybe how you can better support juniors at your local shows, or how you could, like, we always love when people reach out to us wanting to donate money or services or products for our juniors. We're already planning our 2025 events. So we're always looking for support. And it is okay to recognize that there are areas of growth for oneself. And as a team, we are always here to support folks who have come to that realization, whether you have been in agility for 30 years or whether you started yesterday. We are here to support you meeting your goals and feeling good about you, your dog, and your teamwork together. So if you ever feel like you need that, please do not hesitate to reach out to us. And yeah.
Awesome. Sasha?
I would say that I'll bring in the sort of the business side of things. We are, like Bina said, super happy to support anyone who wants to know how they can best support juniors. If you're just a regular competitor, if you're, you know, a trial secretary, reach out, contact form on our website. We will answer you. We will work with you to figure out how you can support juniors better. That's our job. So we love to do it. In terms of supporting our organization. So, you know, we are often centered around our camps, but I'll give a more broad view of BJack. We are a junior handler development program. So we support juniors in all aspects of their growth on their agility journey, not just in our you know, weekend long camps, but also in our year long initiatives, our year round initiatives. And we, you know, like I said, we have a lot of stuff in the works. BJack is going through a big growth spurt right now. So hopefully, you know, in the next year, we'll be able to announce a lot of that stuff. But we are always accepting donations. If you feel like, you know, this, our values and our mission aligns with your values, we always are looking for and accepting sponsorships, donations, product donations for our campers, and ideas. We love ideas. Lots of juniors have submitted cool ideas to us, like Vina had mentioned before, and we actually have a couple of those in the works as well to make them a reality. Juniors often are the most knowledgeable about what is good for juniors, so we try to listen to them on that. And also, I think just spreading the word about us is a really important thing. We are trying to create new initiatives that help not just retain juniors in agility, but also find new juniors and bring them into the sport. So those are also in the works. I feel like I'm saying a lot of things are in the works, but there are a lot of things in the works. I mean, we're doing so much growth and it's really exciting. Yeah, so, you know, like spreading the word to juniors, spreading the word to your random neighborhood kid that loves dogs, because we'll have something for them coming out in the next year. And, you know, who wants to get into agility, has a family dog, something like that. We need new juniors. There are a lot of pieces to this sort of getting more juniors into the sport. There's getting them into the sport in the first place, the knowledge that agility even exists, and then there's retaining them with that community and support and treating them like adults, like humans. I mean, I think a lot of, you know, teenagers, they're, I mean, very competent and basically doing most things on their own at this point, and they don't want to be treated like children anymore. So one of the ways we can retain them is to respect them as adults, basically. And so anyway, all of that is to say, there are so many ways you can support our organization in supporting juniors and in creating a robust future for the sport of agility. The last fun opportunity that I should probably plug here is we actually have a volunteer position opening in our organization, and we are looking for someone. I can't give too many details about the job because it is a little super secret initiative that we want to announce in an exciting reveal. But if you are someone who is tech savvy, wants to work with us remotely, and is good at communication, on top of things, keeps deadlines, can multitask, all of those standard organizational skills, and you want to actually lead our newest initiative and be the director of it, you should reach out to us at our email, which you can, or you can do via a contact form on our website. So that's really exciting. We don't typically have a lot of like employment opportunities within our organization because we're so small, but we are welcoming a new team member and we're looking for that team member now. So if you are interested in supporting juniors, please reach out.
I think somebody might when they're listening to this, so that's great. And I will link everything that you mentioned in the notes for people, but go ahead and just, Bina, do you want to say what the URL is, what your website is?
Yes. So our website is bjaco.com, bjaco.com. And our Facebook is Boundless Junior Agility Company. And our Instagram is boundless_company.
Fantastic. Now everybody will be able to find you. Thank you both so much for not only joining me for this conversation, but for everything that you're doing in the sport, especially for juniors in the sport. I look forward to seeing you both at events coming up, and just cheers. Thanks so much, you guys.
Thank you so much, Sarah.
Thanks for listening. I hope you'll rate, review, and subscribe wherever you heard this podcast. And don't forget to join Patreon at patreon.com/cogdogradio. And if you're interested in more content like the stuff you heard here, I hope you'll check out my online courses, my membership, and all of my offerings at my website, sarahstreming.com. See you there.